It's Fiddlin' Around on 96.1 The Hound.
We are Stick and Bindle out of Northern Kentucky, Cincinnati area. My name's Anne.
And I'm Steve Covington.
We're happy to be here. We started in 2021.
Yeah.
As late. A little offshoot of Steve's band. He'll tell you about that.
Steve Covington and the Humble Strays, five-piece. Anne joined about 2 years ago as a vocalist to help me round out what I call singing. Her and I write the majority of the stuff, so it only made sense that her and I would start going to open mics. And
we put out, fairly soon after we began, we put out our first single and just kind of sat on that for like a year, and we're working on developing our sound and the kinds of things that we wanted to play, but also writing like crazy. And so pretty soon we kind of realized, okay, we should probably put something out. So there was a lot of conversation about an EP, a whole album, and we ended up finding that we had enough for a whole album, so we thought we would go ahead and do that. And then Steve reached out to a buddy of his, a musician out of Alabama named Abe Partridge, who we had we'd opened for him at Southgate a couple years back, and he's a phenomenal musician but also a phenomenal artist. And so we asked him to do the album art, and once he did that, it was so cool. He basically took a photograph that we gave him that a really great local photographer up near us named Kenny Dunn had taken of us. He took that photograph and turned it into a watercolor portrait. And really, once he did that, everything kind of materialized for us, like the vibe of the album and what we were going for. And we were able to kind of kick it into gear and start recording, which was out there at Group Effort Studios in Crescent Springs.
So the first song we're going to do is actually that Main Road, which is that first single she was talking about that we ever recorded.
Right. I wrote this one pretty early on as we were getting together and starting to play together, and it just kind of settled in as the first one, and it's one of my favorites that we do.
Main Road.
Now if it's your intention to go on, I want you to
Alrighty, you're listening to Fiddling Around, and I'm so glad to be joined in the Lexington studio today by Stick and Bindle. And Steve, thanks for coming in. Absolutely. I'm so glad you came all the way down this morning.
Thank you. Thanks for getting us in this weekend.
Totally, yeah. It's a beautiful Sunday afternoon. I can't believe it's already afternoon. It's kind of freaking me out a little bit.
Yeah.
But I'm glad to have gotten you in. I know we connected. We talked about this earlier, about how I had some colleagues up in Northern Kentucky of yours, the Lorelei's, on this summer.
Yeah.
And I'm really happy to get some more of that Northern Kentucky folk spirit down in this room. Lord knows we need it. We need it. So you gave us a wonderful introduction already about the beginnings of Stick and Bindle with the Humble Strays and merging off from that. So you've been around for just as a duo for about like 3-ish years, that we
said? Pushing on 3 now.
It's 2024 now. Yeah. I'm still clocking that.
It happened so fast. It wasn't really...
Yeah.
We, like I said, it wasn't really necessarily planned, but we write a lot of stuff, so her and I were getting together and writing and working stuff out. It's just easier when you come into the band with more than... Look, it's these three chords.
Yeah, I mean? Exactly. And
so
we'll figure it out from there.
Five people that's got, you know, all got to get on board. And it turns out, too, it is so much easier to book two people than it is five.
Can you imagine? Yeah. So the
five
range
truly
of venues.
Talented musicians, and two of them play in two or three other projects as well. Our fiddle player, Lauren Schlummer Wilson, plays in a ton of really cool stuff. She's not that she's. Our fiddle player, but I'd say she's one of the best up there in Northern Kentucky.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
She just went on with Warren Haynes, had her on for his tour
when
he came through in Indy, so she went up and did strings on that and stuff. So, again, that's trying to get everybody in the same place. It's like herding kittens. You know? It's like everyone in the same place at the same time, and it just worked out. The two of us are... pretty loosey-goosey schedule-wise, you know, so it's just...
For sure.
And it's... And there's a whole folky Americana scene right now.
Oh my gosh, totally.
It's so crazy hot. I mean, up where we're at, Northern Kentucky, that general just said, you got three states, you know, right there that there's something good going on all the time.
Exactly.
You know, constantly. And you come up through the ranks watching the Tillers and Buffalo Wobbs and all those guys, and it just kind of...
It really did seamlessly kind of go into playing. We're so lucky to live where we are that there's just a million cool places to play and people to play with. So that part ended up being pretty seamless, and then we just kept booking stuff and kept getting opportunities, and we're writing and working on the album at the same time.
Yeah.
So it kind of all just sort of blew up.
It just kind of happened. Yeah,
those are the best things sometimes.
To
really
do anything like we.
No.
Until it was 2 years ago, we'd be doing this radio circuit tour. We'd be
Come on.
He mentioned I joined the band as a vocalist. I didn't play anything
really?
With the band at the time. And so a lot of this was kind of like just a side project for me. And then it was cool that Steve and I ended up, you know, wanting to play the same kind of music.
Yeah.
And we're able to sort of coalesce around that.
Totally. And have you been playing guitar for a little bit before that, or did you pick it up in lieu of this project?
I started playing guitar after I met Steve.
Wow. What a trendsetter.
And it was really mainly just my first inkling of playing guitar was I wanted to understand at a better level what everybody was talking about when they were talking about working through songs.
Totally.
Because as a vocalist, I look at it through a completely different lens. And so I wanted to really understand more. And then I was also, I have always written. And so I played ukulele for a really long time.
Yes.
And that's a whole different thing. Mm-hmm. So I had written for ukulele. And when I switched to guitar, I thought, well, I'll start writing for guitar. And then I started writing for the duet with both of us in mind. So that kind of...
It's been good because for all the years leading up, I started playing around Cincinnati stuff around 99, 2000, and it was all jam band, you know, Grateful Dead, Widespread Panic.
And, you know it, the best.
You know, Allman Brothers. Yeah, good stuff, you know. But we were also original band. We, you know, I think we released two albums total over those years, and then, but I was always rhythm, so I was off to the side. I sang a lot, but I wasn't the main, so it was cool. I could just sit over there, strum a lot, play with all the fun pedals and loopers and... So once Ann started playing guitar, because I was basically playing all the guitar stuff when it first started, once she's picked up and has honestly surpassed anything I do it. It's ridiculous. She's one of those people where I'm like, whatever, dude.
Wow. Fast learner, for real.
She's got that flat picking thing.
Oh, know? My gosh. And that's and tough.
It is tough.
So tough.
I've played for a lot of years, and it's still... I can't do it as smoothly as she can. So, but it has forced me into learning and getting more familiar with the neck and becoming a soloist and doing all that. Just a couple years ago, I wouldn't have done any solos because in the full band, I've got excellent pickers all standing behind me. I just look at one of them, they know to take off, and I just keep strumming away on the open chords at the top, you know, in the top up there in natural position. So
what a gift. What a gift. Yeah, yeah.
We bump heads a lot because I'm like, you're doing too much on the guitar. There's no room for me. You know, so we've implemented mandolin, washboard.
Oh, yep, for sure.
Banjo and stuff. So we're still in that growing phase, I feel like, where we haven't really – we've found what we sound like. But I don't think we've honed it to exactly what it can sound like.
Absolutely.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to hear a lot more from you later on in this set. So let's go ahead and kick it off with another song. What do we have?
So this is, as you can tell from the title, Song About a Song. It was a lack of imagination there in Independence, Kentucky. Back during COVID, I was invited. I think this was before. I don't know if you were even in the band yet. Were
I don't
you?
Think I was.
But anyway, I was invited to do... by some of the local guys up there. It was called Playing From Home, and it was a live 20-minute set. So it was, I want to say, 6 or 7 of us. And, it, you know, donation-based. Anybody who's a musician during COVID knows the whole shebang. It was terrible. I wanted to do a new song. I wanted to write a new song for it, and because I was just doing band songs that I'd brought in. And the way I write songs is it goes one of two ways. Is real smooth or not so smooth, and the ones that are not so smooth is when I sit down and go, hey, I'm going to write a song about a horse. I can't sit and it just doesn't come to me that way. A lot of times what happens is, and I say this all the time, is like a radio station, it kind of comes to me and through me. Everything I've written up to the final exact way it ends up being, you know, either recorder or whatever, is 3 to 5 minutes. I mean, they'd come through me, and like I was thinking about this last night a lot. You know, art in general is open to, you know, interpretation, personal interpretation. Songs are the same way. You know, somebody may hear one thing in a song, whatever. I feel like I'm interpreting my songs after they're written, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Like it came from a different place, and now I'm looking at it.
I'm like, oh, okay.
Oh, duh. You know, and it is. And it's so I wanted to sit down that night and write one, and if I try to force it, it just doesn't work. And, so the next morning, you know, so I went to bed that night, you know, disgruntled and whatever. And I woke up the next morning with this melody, and then I was like late for work and everything. I had to sit down, pen everything I needed. And it's a song about writing songs and how hard it can be to write songs. Music part of everything we do comes quick for me. It's the words, you know, she's a little quicker at it. She's an English teacher. So
I am an English teacher.
All that just flows out of her.
Day.
If I say the moon is... right, she's like, no, the lunar glow of the, you know, it makes it way more interesting than what I was gonna say. So, but this song is called Song About a Song, and it just kind of touches on all that kind of stuff. It took me a notion to write me a song. Grab that old guitar, but the words were all wrong. I said, oh, back easy, I want her to say, now go find your voice. Give it away. And this blank piece of paper, as blank as my mind, an empty reward for wasting my time. And if it were easy, then we'd all be stars someday. Someday.
searching for lyrics to a song you don't know. Some folks just get it, some folks just can't. Some thoughts that find you, but some words won't dance. And if it were easy, now we'd all be stars someday, yeah.
Well, that's a great segue into talking about the album. Lauren Laments came out just a couple months ago, is that right? Yeah. Oh my gosh.
We had a release party in June at Second Sight Spirits in Ludlow, Kentucky.
Yep. Wow. I'm sure you had a lot of fun there.
Oh, that was so cool.
Yeah,
great night.
It's just a great room. And
we got some really fun people come and play with us. Evan McMillan played a set. Jordan Smart played a set. We got up and did the album, and then the last song we had the full band
come
because they did a song on the album that we'll do today, just the two of us, but the full band, it sounds really good.
I love it. Yeah, I love this album. I feel like it's an album that you can really listen to any time of day, any feeling you're feeling. It reminds me of you're sitting at a campfire with people that you love. It's the simplicity of it leads to so much, like you said, interpretation after the fact, and I love that. I had never even thought about music like that before. It's like, you know, when you pointillism with paintings, you have to take a step back and see it after it's already done, and then you see the full picture of it.
My magic eye poster.
Exactly. Yes, truly, truly.
Just squint.
Yeah, but I think that's the true spirit of that album, and especially as your first one, I think it's a really exciting jumping off point for so much more to come. What are some of the highlights? What's your favorite part of making that album?
Being done. It's so stressful.
Everyone's afraid to say it.
You spend all this time and you play and you go in front of all these people and you do whatever and then you get in there. As soon as that red light comes on, like all muscle memory, I have no idea what song we're playing. Yeah. Like it's the space we record at their group effort, Paranormal Anger, is super cool. I think they moved a couple times and then settled there. I want to say late 70s, early 80s. Yeah. There's like the big main room. There's like a tree. It's a fake tree. I don't know. It looks like a real tree. I know it's not a lot because it's not coming through the roof.
Yeah.
But it's like a tree. And then all the walls are the way they're shaped in and out with all this really just ridiculously great woodwork.
Oh, I love it.
Being a carpenter, every time I'm there, I'm like, look at all this stuff, you know. And so it's always fun. And Jeff's awesome. He's always so easy to work with.
Jeff was the first person I ever recorded anything with when I came in way back at the very beginning of All This, and just laid down a couple of harmony tracks on some of I think some of the band singles, and then you had some
solo
stuff that you were trying to do, and he just really put me at ease and helped me understand the process of that. It was really cool because we asked Lauren to come in and do fiddle on a few of them. She did a really amazing fiddle on the opening track, Change Your Mind, which I had not heard. I just sent her the song, like a crappy, phone recording version of the song, and then I sent her the mixes and stuff, and was just like, hey, can you just do something? And she showed up, and just, if I could have done it myself, that's what I would have done.
Wow.
So, and then she added on another song that we'll do today, and then she, of course, was part of the big band thing. So that was probably the most fun for me, was just getting to work with my friends.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. And friends who are the best musicians around.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
That totally helps.
Because we wanted to put something out there. Usually a band will squeeze out a 3 or 4 song EP because you have to have something to hand out at shows.
You have
to have merch. You got to have something. I feel like the first album that we did, our first, this Lauren Laments, every song's a little different, but the same. I mean, that sounds crazy, but they all fit well together.
Totally.
But it's definitely like a representation of where we are right now. Mm. And I think that's important for any musician to do. Over the last decade or so, Americana has kind of come in and swept up a lot of us that mm-hmm. were kind of fringe.
Would have described ourselves
country,
as
country. Yeah, yeah. Really country.
And the young people are loving it too. Like, oh, like of all it's my friends in college, they just were loving folk. And I go to school up in New York, and I never expected to see folk, Americana, even bluegrass be mm-hmm.
all the way
at the forefront yeah. of the indie crowds. Yeah. It's right, really yeah. incredible.
It is kind of a mix of all of that. And so we try not to, like, you know, settle too much into one thing, mm-hmm. Because it's always changing and it's arbitrary anyway. But just when people ask, we say folk Americana.
I think any musician over time grows and changes and maybe even walks that weird line between mm. it's an art, it's just like anything, whatever comes out is what you're going to get. Tyler Childers and those guys have come out hot, like, I mean, he's still kicking butt, and
yeah,
he took
truly.
All that flack for
just
closed-minded
yeah.
stupid stuff, so
yeah,
now, which is just good because that makes tickets easier, you know,
yeah, exactly, for me,
yeah.
Stay home, fine,
cell, you know, like you feel like you get held to that. I don't feel like it should be that way,
yeah.
Like, I'm not going to put out like an emo album tomorrow. Like, but there may be something come along where
who
I'm
knows?
My hair down, put my bangs in my eyes,
oh,
and
boy.
Look at the floor.
Please, I'm ready for that.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Goth folk is coming.
Where is it? Let me see it. Let me see it. No, I mean, but you're right. Especially with, like, if you're trying to make a whole lifetime out of music, you can't.
Absolutely.
There's no way one person stays the same for, you know, 10, 20, 30 years.
Well, there's a lack of growth. And
there are people, we know. There are.
Well,
but
happens.
The good ones don't.
We're doing it all ourselves. So we can do
right.
whatever we want.
And I guess that'll get me into my next question that will kind of round out this segment. But to give us a little bit more of a feel for those who haven't heard the album or haven't heard anything from you, if you could describe Stick and Bindle in a set of three covers, what would they be?
Well, I'll say one I think you'll agree with, If I Was the Devil.
Yeah.
So that's a Justin Townsend role.
Mm.
And it's kind of spare, a little spooky.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just waiting for you to let me tell you my other two.
No, you should probably go ahead because I'm like trying to think here.
Well, I would say Rock, Salt, and Nails.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's, well, one, it's a cover we learned pretty early on. Both liked it independently and wanted to try to figure it out. There's lots of old school versions, some new school versions. But it's one of those kind of... I really like a good murder ballad.
Oh, they're the best.
So
they're grungy. They've got that, like...
Yeah.
Always involves a river and somebody's wife.
Somebody's wife gets thrown in the river.
That's
like,
right.
Wait, poor thing.
I just listened to... it was an Everly Brothers song where it's a murder ballad where he talks about killing his girlfriend. And
Everly
it's like,
Brothers?
Yes. They have a whole album of
nice.
Old-timey songs my daddy taught me.
Yeah, I love that album. Yeah.
It's such a good album. But the song, it just escalates and escalates. He poisons her, then he stabs her, then he throws... I'm like, you killed her. She's dead.
I've always wondered what the dating life of the bluegrass artists who wrote stuff like this were. Like, if I heard that, that's a red flag for me. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't... So
but great
I like
song.
Those kinds of songs.
Yeah.
I like doing them.
Totally.
And I would say that one.
Say, like... Anything, I think vibe-wise with the male-female voice, I mean, would be anything by, like, what Watch House now.
Oh, yeah.
Mandolin Orange forever.
Previously known.
Truly.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, to pick one song, per se, I mean.
I know for me, a big influence is Gillian Welch.
Yeah.
Oh,
Dave
yeah.
Dave Rawlings. Yeah.
Totally.
Christ. My third song was Gold Mine in the Sky because it's as old school as it gets. It's an old Gene Autry cowboy song. And it's not a murder ballad or one of those dark ones because we also like doing some of those traditionals, like Blue Moon of Kentucky.
Oh, yeah.
And we really love, I personally really love the older stuff, older traditional old-time stuff. So
yeah.
To me, that kind of covers all the bases.
You got anything to add, Steve?
Well.
We can do an honorable mention.
Grateful Dead.
I know.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's my whole thing. Man, for years and years and years. I actually got to see Jerry while he was alive.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Dating myself here, but... big blues fan, so, like,
mm-hmm.
anything but Lead Belly, like, In the Pines
yeah.
is one that we
yeah.
cover a lot.
Totally.
Our way. Mm. Not... And we always have to, like... It's funny, because you see the different age groups' eyes mm-hmm. light up when we play that, because you got the older folks who recognize it yep. as a traditional, you know, Lead Belly type. And then there's the younger kids who have tied it to Kurt Cobain.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And it's like, they're like, oh, yeah, they're playing Nirvana. And this guy over here is like, they're playing Lead Belly. And we're like, yes.
It's fun for the whole thing. Yes. Correct.
Yeah. So, I don't know. That'd probably be mine.
All right, Stick and Bindle on Fiddling Around. Let's get on into our next song.
So this one's called Cover with the Moon. This is one of those I wrote in 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm. And it was part of the search for the album title,
yeah, because so Stick and Bindle, for those who don't know, is the... Everyone does know what it is, but we thought we'd be witty. We didn't want to be
really
like Stephen Ann or, you know. So we're like, what could be two of things that you can't, but also don't identify either of you, you know? And a stick and bindle is the little thing you see hobos carrying with a stick with a little pack on the back of it. Mm. You would be surprised. We spend the first 10 minutes of every show explaining what a stick and bindle is now. We thought that was witty. It was going to be like piece of cake, you know, the whole Pink Floyd thing. By the way, which one's pink? Because we constantly get, are you stick or are you bindle?
Yeah.
We're just like, yes. We don't ever. The world may never know. You know, so, but we were looking through some, just some random hobo
slang terminology,
and
yeah.
symbols, and just looking for a name for the album. We're sticking with that same kind of a one of the two of us here on this little stage here. Yeah, has maybe more hobo like tendencies than the other. So, so I was digging around and I came across this saying called "Cover with the Moon," and it means to sleep outside, sleep outdoors, which I do as much as possible when I can. So. Kind of came up with it, and it kind of stuck. Did not become the name of the album, obviously, but I couldn't let the idea go, so I kind of went home that night and penned this one called Cover with the Moon.
It's Stick and Bindle on Fiddling Around, and we'll just wrap it up by talking about what's next for y'all.
Yeah,
I know you're taking a little bit of a break right now to recuperate from the summertime.
You've got some stuff coming up as well in the surrounding area, so where can we see you?
So, if everyone who's familiar with Blink, mm-hmm. That comes through, Cincinnati, and it's a whole, it's like 80-plus art, light art. Mm-hmm. I don't know exactly what that art is considered, but all over Cincinnati and then and right there in Covington and Newport. But we will be, full band will be at Smail Park on the riverfront in Cincinnati during Blink.
19th, yeah.
Oh, that'll be fun.
October, we're with the, next with Saturday.
The Parks, Cincinnati Parks is who is putting that particular stage on during that same night. So, yeah, we'll be there.
So we got Blink. And then,
We as a duet will be, this is kind of an unreleased show, but I know she's working on it. We have a good friend in Northern Kentucky, Lisa Sullivan, who is a photographer, great photographer, and she also is the founder of a nonprofit called Women's Groovement, which is works to basically raise money to help support domestic violence nonprofits.
It's a center in Covington called the Ion Center for Violence.
And she does shows, and she put out an album, and then just last year a second album of a compilation of local female musicians, wow. and has just a lot of events throughout the years to support and fundraise for that. And one of those is coming up on November
16th
at Second Sight, which is actually the same place we did our album release, coincidentally. Mm-hmm. And Chelsea Nolan is going to be playing there. Mm-hmm. She's really cool. Solo
Eastern
acoustic,
Kentucky.
Yeah.
Totally.
Girl out of... Her stuff is so... Like,
yeah, check her out. For
yes,
sure.
She's amazing.
Unbelievable.
I would say gritty and mm-hmm. funny. She'll... Yeah. and then... yeah, so we'll just be supporting her.
I love
for
it.
That show.
That's exciting. Well,
now we've kind of decided to kind of, because we were talking about this earlier. We get like these manic bouts of shows, and next thing you know, we're both like, "That's Wednesday, Thursday,
we're
Friday,
booked.
All Saturday, and then Sunday, Monday, and then it's in three different states." And you're like, "Oh man,
no
so
sleep.
How are we gonna
yeah.
no sleep?
We can teleport. It's
out,
fine.
You know, yeah." And so we're like, let's dial it back through the winter, at least through the new year, and just because we want to get this next album out, but we also want to build and I want to work on some of my other mandolin skills.
There were air quotes there.
Yeah, exactly.
But I don't know if it was in front of mandolin or in front of skill.
Skill.
So we're going to be working on some stuff, but we obviously will. So I guess what I'm saying is we're not chasing down anything per se, but we are also not turning anything down. It's worth doing.
Of course,
this has put us in a different, kind of a different angle.
I mean, if you have a goal, you got to switch it up to get to where you want to be.
We played in a thing in Brown County. It was a songwriters contest. Really cool. We got to meet some really cool people. It was based on, audience votes, and we weren't from there. So needless to say,
it was rigged.
We made it to the semifinals. I mean, we kicked butt. But the further you got into it, the more of those people's families
you
and
gotta
grandmas.
Get a fan club.
And the people
yeah.
were so talented.
But they were good, too. Yeah.
And the two guys that went through on the night that we were there, like, bar none, they were amazing. Mm. So, but that was really cool.
But we made the connections we need to. We got offered a couple spots, tentative, that really happens over winter for spring or whatever, but some festivals and some other stuff.
We got to play a couple festivals last year. There's a really cool one in Ludlow called Cabin Fever.
We love Cabin Fever.
Yeah, and then Metamora, that was super fun. So
we're trying to get more out of town eventually you start cannibalizing your crowd, your local crowd. They're not gonna we've seen you, your mom stops coming.
I
heard this song,
But I'm excited. We've got our fingers crossed for the festival circuit next year. That'll be a wonderful way to kick off the year.
And being a teacher's got the whole summer off.
Yeah, you're right in the heat of the school year. We're almost at midterms for you, right?
We're almost at the end of the quarter.
Oh, gosh.
Crunch time.
Yeah, grades are coming in. Watch out.
So hopefully that, works out. That helps with scheduling. Sure.
Well, they can find you on Instagram, right?
Yes, we're on all the places, Instagram, Facebook. And you have a website, just Stick and Bindle Music, and that's where you can find everything. And
merch.
And all the merch and all the show dates.
Buy
and
the merch.
Album
yes.
information and all that stuff.
Well, thanks for coming on the show today. We've got two more tunes to close us out.
Okay.
You've been listening to Fiddling Around with Stick and Bindle and Steve. And let's get into another tune.
Well, this one, we don't do this one very often, honestly, because it's one of those listening room songs. It's one of my, honestly, it's one of my favorite that I've written, just because it was an important one to me. But it's also like one of those depressing songs. So you kind of pick the right audience, you know, for that.
Sorry about your afternoon.
Yeah, we'll end it on a light note. So yeah, this one's called, it's called Drowning.
So this song's from a woman's perspective about how men can be dogs. And I wrote it. So there's that.
I'm going to sing it.